Fun Theater when every night is Negro night.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if I'm there.
Yeah. When was the last time we did an episode without juice? I should have said where every night is Negro night.
Not oh,
night.
Andrew.
That's... I've been in about like 3/5 of the shows, I think.
That makes sense.
At this point.
That's three-fifths. A good compromise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow, that got dark.
Has anyone started it off on the
in high school history class?
Does anyone
diversified when Marvel diversified? our first interracial episode was Black Panther.
It was.
Was that the first episode you guys had juice on?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it was
it really?
I think it was.
I think it was.
I remember you guys came over and did X-Men 3.
And didn't let him up.
I think that was that.
Because you guys... Was that...
I'm looking at the list.
Because the first time I met you was when we did Black Panther. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I think he's right.
That's funny. No, I mean, I believe it. That's really funny. But I thought we had done one before then.
Too.
Yeah.
He was trying to impress you the whole time. He just kept going, I love this movie.
Listen,
it's not like he needed a black voice.
Juice is going to do the show with us, and I'm like, oh, who's Juice? He's like, oh, he's my drummer. I was like, oh, shit.
Close I've seen pictures of that guy.
you're bringing the black guy you know on the Black Panther episode? That was kind of
no, because we were practicing at the time with the band, and Juice was like, put me on if you do a Black Panther episode. And I'm like,
yeah, hey. That's right.
Yeah. It wasn't like I was like, hey, I need to get my black friend to talk about this movie.
This is all unfolding to me. That's not how it was going. You know, I was like, oh, okay. All right.
Well,
and then the next time is when we came to your house and watched. We didn't come to your house and watched X3.
Yeah, we just came and talked about it.
You just came over and talked about it.
Great episode. Yeah. That was a great episode. But we're here today to talk about Hairspray.
Hairspray.
Hairspray, man. Real so this quick, is like.
Hold up.
Go ahead. Up.
We gotta
okay.
do the plugs. We gotta do the plugs. We gotta
okay. Plugs
in there. You gotta do the plugs in the beginning?
Yeah, because people don't listen to the end all the time.
There's a rule?
Yeah. Man,
what?
Oh, if we start talking about the goddamn movie, they listen at the beginning.
As soon as they press play, you gotta go, oh, so you can pay us with Patreon and then follow us on YouTube and Twitter.
Please give us money, please.
Andrew just said it. We're on all the things. Contact us if you want to listen to exclusive Simpsons episodes. Subscribe to Patreon, $5 a month. Get four to five episodes a month. Anyway,
join the Discord. Discord's fun. Join the Discord.
Yeah, join the Discord. Man, we're all over the place. Please interact with us. We're lonely. Also, if you leave a review on iTunes, we love you so much. If you leave a 5-star review, that'll get us on the charts. The more that happens, people might know who we are. So we appreciate that. It takes like 20 seconds. Thank you. Hairspray.
Hairspray.
I was sitting around with my wife on a lazy Sunday.
My wife.
My wife. And she was combing through the movies on HBO Max. And she clicked on Hairspray and she was like, have you ever seen this? And at first I said yes. So she turned it on, and I remembered this came out around the same time as A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master on video. And so it was like on the shelves at the same time. So I remember seeing it a lot, and I remember looking at the box and being like, maybe I would like this, but I'm not sure. I wish I would have checked it out back then, honestly, but I'm glad I checked it out now because she turned it on. I realized I hadn't seen it. I realized it was completely different from what I expected, partially due to the fact that it became a musical later and such. And dude, this is an old school New Line movie. This has, I mean, it sounds like these songs were even recorded in the same studio as the songs from the Nightmare on Elm Street 4 movie.
What songs?
just there's some songs in it. There's at least one song, the Hairspray song, the first song in the beginning. That's the song I'm talking about that I think sounds like it was recorded in the same studio as that.
Ben is skeptical as fuck with what you're saying right now.
Ben does not believe
what you're saying right now.
I listen to this stuff hard, man. I do. And so anyway, I was like, fuck, you know what? I'm just going to
listen to this. There's irrefutable proof. Andrew, what more do you fucking need?
That is true.
He listens to that shit.
I'm not questioning it. I'm just saying Ben is questioning it hard right now. So Juice had skeptical hippo eyes as well.
Yeah.
That's a look. There were I'll give it to Jacob
Steven
though.
Seagal.
This is what I'll give to Jacob. I believe there was a tad of original music to this movie. So I think
sure, but there was no like it kind of made it sound like they broke out into song. I'm like, that's the wrong.
Oh no no no
no no! No. The song Hairspray, it sounds exactly like songs from the Nightmare on Elm Street soundtrack, like it was recorded in the same studio. That's all I'm saying. This is a New Line movie from 19.
If you're right, then you've seen those movies way too much.
I bet, dude.
You know I've seen those movies way too much. You know
he really has. I legitimately, he's probably right about that.
That would be crazy. Like you're like, no, dude, that's the same soundboard. I can hear it.
I can smell the smoke in the air.
Let me describe to you, Ben. Let's walk over. Let's walk over here real quick. Just a second.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This moment. You see
for those
all
of you just
shit?
Listening.
There's multiple copies of the same movie here. And then I just paid another $170 for multiple more copies of the same movie, Ben.
Because you have a problem.
Yeah. I hear the coffee.
I'm going to try to find out.
That's what I'm hearing.
So you said this is the dream what?
The Dream Master.
That's a Freddy movie, correct?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if I can find out it's the same studio, right?
Probably not. That's going to be a tough one to. You're going to have to actually get the movie, watch the credits, and see what studio it was recorded in, and go look at the credits.
Would they put that in the credits, honestly?
Yeah, they'd have to. Yeah, they have to credit everything. They credit fucking catering in the credits.
But anyway, I watched.
Catering by N&B Craft Services.
I watched this movie with my wife, and I really thought that it kind of fit with everything we've been talking about lately. And it's also a low budget, old, you know, crazy movie like that we like to watch.
Plus, it's science fiction, and I've been like on a really cool sci-fi trip lately.
Like what?
Because, well, this for one, because like at first it seems like it's. Like, when you're watching it, throughout, like, the first half of it, you're like, oh, this is set in, like, the early 60s. And then, like, midway through, you're like, oh, shit, this is, like, some sort of, like, weird sci-fi speculative fiction. Because it's obviously set in 2020, because you can tell by the the people holding the Confederate flag signs yelling, go back to where you came from!
Yes!
And then cops start beating peaceful protesters because one
police
of the racist people threw a cherry bomb in the crowd. Dude, I was like, oh shit, this is
other people's faces and shit.
Yeah, this movie's like Watchmen. It's like an alternate version of what 2020 is. We still came to the same problems, but it's under the guise of like this weird like 60s culture is still around. So yeah, I thought it was a really crazy, like cool sci-fi film.
Yeah, it was really cool how they made. Yeah, they made like a doo-wop 50s movie that ended in fucking white nationalist terrorism.
Yeah,
I thought it was pretty well.
Having seen both, go ahead, Dusty.
It's like I came home from work and sat down and turned on the TV and watched Work. Like it's the, like I might as well live in this fucking movie.
Yeah.
So nothing. I mean, I've got. Traumatic experiences from the beehive ladies from church and shit, you know. Yeah. Like yeah. I couldn't get it. This movie just everything that I just cringed towards was this movie. We really haven't progressed past this movie.
That's why it's so relevant. It's so fucking relevant. And I was like, the guys have to see this. By the end of the movie, Ashley and I both, Ashley especially, was like, dude, I will donate to the show if you will do this episode. And I was like, you don't have to. It's happening. I'm picking. But you could if you wanted to. But you don't have to.
Don't do it, Ashley.
But no, I had no idea.
Say that coin.
She had no idea when she turned this on, like how relevant it was going to be to what we're living right now. Like, this is crazy. I'm seeing this in real life right now. Like, this is.
We've been trying to tell y'all this whole time.
It also
that
shows
you needed
who
the dancing white woman savior.
Yeah. Hey, who watched
that's what's going to solve everything.
Who watched the musical, the 2007?
I was able to watch about 15 minutes of it, and
I watched bits and pieces. My wife just put it on afterwards, and so I kind of like came in and out and watched. Way more sanitized with the racial stuff in that one. I was like, oh yeah, that was like at the height of us sweeping it all under the rug and being like, it's fixed. At least in the 88 version, it was like, no, this is how that shit was. Like, and even it was like a nice fairy tale version of it. But yeah, at least it wasn't nearly as sanitized as like the Hollywood 2007 version.
Well, that's the funny thing. It was super progressive in that. Like, it was one of the more progressive movies I've seen from that era, when it comes to race relations. But and also Divine playing the mother, a drag queen. He's not a transsexual man, but he is a
gay
guy.
They were called transvestites.
Yes, they really don't like when you call them that now. What?
No, I know.
Transvestite.
From
transsexual Transylvania.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so controversial still at that time, though, for a man to be in drag.
Yeah, so it's super progressive in those areas, but it also, it's pretty cruel with the mentally challenged. It is not kind to the mentally challenged at all.
Why? Because it says the R word once?
She says... No, it says it twice, actually.
Okay, twice.
In the next scene.
But, I mean, hold on.
In the 60s, would it be exactly what they would have said?
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Even in the 80s, my mom works at the Boonville Human Development Center. Yep. And, like, even in the 80s, it was medically viable to be diagnosed with mental retardation. You're retarded.
Absolutely. Like, and if
not
I heard,
anymore. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, but still, if I heard a doctor or a psych or somebody say your son has mental retardation or your son is retarded, yeah, that's fine.
But what I'm saying is it's
in trouble in class for having too big of hair.
Yes.
And because she has her hair is too big, she gets sent to special ed.
Yeah.
With all the Negro kids.
That's where that's where they put all the black kids, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, they put all the Negro kids in special eds because they're not as smart, apparently.
Yeah. But you guys know exactly where I'm taking this. The conversation, he goes, you're gonna have to be in special ed. She's like, special ed? But that's for retards. That's not a doctor in the 50s going, your son has mental retardation.
But that was normal back then.
Andrew, if one of us got at age like 15 or 16, got told we were going to special ed, we would have been like, but that's, I wouldn't have said that personally, but like there's a lot of people that would have said that.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been, nobody would have really batted an eye about the language. So
wait.
The early 60s. They're not.
Andrew has said the word retard on film. In a movie called Haas's Revenge.
I did a bunch of times. But that's what I'm saying is, and I'm not saying that it shows you how like delayed that particular progress was, that a movie that is about literal equality and progress doesn't, like, was before a time that we actually realized, oh shit, we were really mean to mentally challenged people.
We're mean to a lot of people. It was like,
and the same thing with fat people in this movie.
Dude, it was like, that was like the 50s in America was like peak status quo, toe the line, conform. It was like our Victorian. It was like our Victorian era when England went through their Victorian times, and it was like, you have to fucking have a hat on. You better fucking dress, like, be covered up, look right.
Yeah.
Like, be a part of society. It was that way in the 40s and 50s. Like,
But this movie's made in 88. So like,
well, yeah, but it's reflecting the end of that era, because the early 60s is not the 60s when people like hippies talk about the 60s. The early 60s was like the end of the 50s as well.
Yeah.
It was a lot of 50s bleed over, sort of like the 80s bled over into like 91 through 93, until it kind of died out with grunge and shit.
Well, and they happened in the 90s too. Like the 90s lasted till 2002.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
When was Triple X made?
I think that was 02. Hold on.
Yeah, because that's peak night. That's the end of the 90s movie. That should be the 90s tombstone.
That's the death rattle of the 90s.
The death rattle of the 90s. It should say, there should be a tombstone that has a little TV player in the display in it, just playing Triple X.
It was 02. Yeah, that is the 90s, like, fucking big thrasher party at the end of the 90s.
Here lies wake the up 90s. And go,
man, we woke up from Triple X and went, man, I really got to get my life together. And then the 2000s started.
With singles and ended with Triple X. That was the
90s. I'm honestly really stoked that you guys, like, were able to let this movie unfold on you unknowingly, because that was how I felt. Like, I was like, Hairspray, what? And as it unfolds, you realize this is truly like a piece of art. Like, this is a really good movie. And that's subjective. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but like, it brings up so many great topics, and the vibe is so lovable. Ricky Lake in this movie is Tracy Turnblad, I believe is her name.
Yeah, I love me some Ricky Lake.
Fucking absolutely loved her. I mean,
go ahead, Jacob.
I only know Ricky Lake as a talk show host, and then I watched this movie, and I was blown the fuck away by her charm. Like, she's amazing in this movie. When she's dancing, like, she sells that shit that she really loves it, you know? And I just, every second she's on screen, I'm just like, give that girl a fucking Oscar. I cried during this movie because of her performance a few times. Like, she's so fucking earnest in what she is and who she is and what she wants. And like, when she's trying to, you know, like, integrate the dance party and stuff like that, like, she really seems like she means that shit. And it's great.
I was actually wanted to jump on that, because she's also very naive. And I think that's sort of the point of, like,
sure,
she cares about the integration subplot to a degree, but whenever like her goals are in front of her, like, that's it. It's just like, oh, back to my white life. And I was like, oh, we're all Tracy Turnblatt a little bit. We're all a little Tracy Turnblatt in the way we live our lives, dealing with these issues in our face. So yeah, I don't know. That was my deep thought on Hairspray near the end. I was like, okay, yeah.
White people dancing, I'm in.
I do. You know what? I'm going to say it now. I'm sad that I grew up after white dancing was no longer in vogue.
Right.
Because I feel like I could have really had fun dancing in the early 60s. Dancing was around, because like, I just can't do any, like, all dancing now, modern dancing, like in a club, is sexy dancing, and I'm not good at sexy dancing. So like, it'd be great to just like do the little waggle and the da da da. Like, hell yeah,
we should bring it back.
Let me bounce off of that, Ben. Let me bounce off of that. That's something I really wanted to touch on in this movie. In the 60s, there was a craze going on with pop music. Like, every song was a new dance.
And yeah, it's what we had in hip hop.
It's still happening now.
2000s.
Yeah. TikTok.
Left foot slide. Like, there's a song like 2 weeks ago.
If you really watch in this movie, when it goes to the black dance party, they're not doing like a move from a song. Like, they're doing their own thing. They're really like, they're getting down. They're doing like the booty moves. They're like twerking before twerking on the thing. You know what I'm saying?
I did comment. I was like, hey, there's some twerking before.
It was like jazzercise twerking.
Let's find out about twerking. Did we talk about this on the episode?
Miley fucking Cyrus, probably. That was it became like everyone was talking about twerking.
I just was curious about this, because I had a conversation with a friend of mine not too long ago about like why it takes so long for things to reach white mass. Like, so that I was kind of curious if we had talked about this.
Well, I think we just thought of it as shaking that ass for the longest time. And then there's like twerking became like a specific type of shaking that ass for us.
Because it's been around. It's been around for a long, 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 long time. There's a song called Doing the Butt. Or I think it's just called The Butt. But
play the song at my funeral.
Yeah, dude, yes. Who's singing it?
That was Ashley. Hey! He knows doing the butt.
You're invited to the cookout.
Yeah.
You're invited to the cookout. That's a classic. Classic song. And we would sing it literally at the cookout. That would be, like, you would just see a lot of booty shaking. Like, it was just, I grew up with that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, what were you about to say, actually?
When did black people learn about Jeff Foxworthy?
You know, you might be a racist.
It was right at Blue Collar. That's when it was. And we had calendars already. You know what I mean? So, like, it's delayed in all directions is what that's all I'm saying.
Wow. You know, I never thought about that because I knew way too many white people. But wasn't the blue collar comedy thing a ripoff of the Kings of Comedy? Wasn't the Kings of Comedy first?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and Def Comedy Jam and
wasn't all stand up comedy? Comedy started with black people. Like white people just did that later. In fact,
It depends on who you credit, because you can give some of the Jews at New York like way back in the day as well.
Early white stand up comedy was done in blackface. So really,
the good old days.
Yeah, back when you could get away with
it. I used to watch Red Skelton from the 50s and 60s.
Yikes.
He would do pantomime and shit. Like, I still like it, but I understand a lot of people think it's lame. But yeah, there was a lot of stuff it came up in different ways from different places. Like a lot of it was stories with the black comedy coming up. And then the white guys were more the bits, you know what I mean? And it was like a different directions. Like, it's pretty cool to watch stuff evolve all the way through. But yeah, you might be
pole switch.
Real quick, back to Hairspray. There's a shit ton of people in this movie that I got to shout out. do you guys know who played Amber Von Tussel?
Yes.
Yes. I looked her up.
I knew immediately. I didn't know immediately.
As we go on.
That's her? I didn't know she sang that. So I didn't know any vitamin C.
Wait, vitamin C?
Yeah.
That's her.
Wait, played who?
Amber
the
mean
girl.
The mean girl?
The white blonde.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah.
Hold the fucking phone. Nuh-uh.
You got to get to Savannah.
The daughter of Debbie Harry.
Yes.
And no way. Yeah, I'm going to have to go tell Savannah. Is this really true?
Yeah.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow. Hold on. If you look it up on
IMDb. How old is she? I thought she was
vitamin C.
Yeah. That was her.
Wow.
Her name is Colleen Fitzpatrick on Hairspray, but it is.
But she's vitamin
C. Vitamin C.
Holy shit. 1 second. I knew that was going to blow
somebody going to the judges.
Hey.
Did you know that was?
I wish we could hear him tell his wife.
Okay.
I can't hear it.
Shut the door. I can hear him at the beginning.
Yeah, he's like,
he's like, what the fuck? she drops a glass. Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. I'll wait for him to come back. Oh, he's coming back. He's coming back. All right.
Yeah, that was a good one. She had a mind blown.
Did her hat blow off of her head?
She had herself a Morty's mind blower.
Yeah, man.
You have to go get the smelling salts. Wake her up really quick.
It blew Ashley's mind. We found that out while we were watching it on that current viewing.
I've seen that movie
because she said she's seen it a billion times, and we had no idea. And I got on IMDb. I'm like, vitamin C. But yeah, that's her.
She ruined every graduation and prom I had to go to.
She did.
Yeah, I didn't know that was her.
And senior video. Recently, my son played me this rap song that it samples it, and it's not saying that. It's like, as we go down the Fifth Avenue. You know, it's or something like that.
Just like it's a bunch of greasy Italians or something.
Yeah, it's,
go down Fifth Avenue.
It's from the 60s in the Bronx.
Yeah, so like, yeah, I'm walking it. Hey, I'm rapping it.
My so I had to play
the best Cannelloni.
I had to play him the original, and he's like, "Oh, I know this song, but I didn't make the connection." I'm like, "That's the thing, being old, nobody gives a fuck about our shit." Mm-mm. So anyway,
why should they? It's all disposable culture.
Is throw your shit it away. Vitamin C?
Also, real quick, I'm gonna point out the dude that played Link Larkin, which is the Elvis looking man in this movie. That is the hot dude.
He does look a lot like
the heartthrob.
Okay, so this guy looks like Elvis, and I was like, my God, if that guy hasn't played Elvis, then something is wrong. That guy's played Elvis five times. Five times that man's played Elvis Presley, but the first time is probably the most notable. He was Elvis in Great Balls of Fire, the Jerry Lee Lewis movie with what's his name? Who? Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid played Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, Winona Ryder played his 15-year-old girlfriend, wife,
cousin, girlfriend, wife.
Fascinating.
It's just like Morgan Freeman.
It's a great movie.
Morgan Freeman did that too.
It was his like adopted niece or something crazy.
God damn it.
Yeah, dude.
It was. I think it was a rumor, but also
creeping, man. Not much you can do about it.
Well, we know what's creeping. Going on in Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Pizzagate.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that Wayfair. All that Wayfair.
Wayfair. Yeah.
I paid for cabin on Wayfair. You'll never guess what showed up.
Ellen's pillows. Ellen's pillows.
A pallet of Goya beans.
Since we're already talking about vitamin C, we'll go ahead and talk about her mom, Velma Von Tussle, played by Debbie Harry of Blondie. I love her.
So good in this. Yeah. You know, it's crazy how much she and Michelle Pfeiffer look like each other, and I didn't realize that until I was watching.
True. That was good casting.
It was. Wild. Like I said, I only caught about 15 minutes of the remake, but I want to watch the rest of it. I was actually like, oh, okay, this is nice.
I vastly prefer the John Waters version.
Of course. Of course you do. It's
personally.
John Waters, man, I don't know. I guess where I got started with John Waters was Where I got started with John Waters was Crybaby. I love that movie. Serial Mom after that.
Serial Mom is underrated. Serial Mom is a really good movie.
And I think John Waters is, just as a character, like he's very famous in my mind, even though I haven't seen a lot of his movies. I've never seen Pink Flamingos or anything like that.
It's weird.
I loved him in Seed of Chucky. I don't know if anybody ever saw that, but he was actually a victim of Chucky at one point. And I also love that he cameos in the remake, like, as a flasher, like, right away. I was like, holy shit, there he is right there.
His role in this one was pretty good, too. Like,
the
hypnotist.
The psychiatrist was amazing. The,
because the I had that, cattle pride?
Yeah, with the cattle. Because it's also, that's another thing that this movie did, because it's John Waters, so it loves to just bathe in its own filth. It's like Frank from It's Always Sunny. That's sort of like a John Waters movie in walking form. Yeah. Just like in love with its own garbage. Like makes makes treasure out of trash.
We watched Homer's Phobia.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, it's which camp.
You'll be able to watch on Patreon later.
Well, for free in like an hour.
Well, if you're watching this Twitch stream, all two people.
That's why you watch a Twitch stream. People are listening.
It was like his psychiatrist character, which was not in the remake because that would not fly. But I actually liked it because it kind of like it humorously skewered the mental hysterics about integration that was like in the minds of people back then. I mean, this was during the time when homosexuality was still a classified mental disorder and integration had to be done forcefully through, you know, armed troops because a lot of Americans were like, nah.
like today.
And so I thought the her like, ooh, black boy, and like hitting her with a cattle prod. I thought that was actually kind of like kind of smart comedy in a way of like showing just how ridiculously like heightened the panic was about having white girls date black boys.
He's got a stick with the hypnotic swirly on it.
It's hilarious.
You know, it's a hypnotist when he's got the swirly, and he's got the holding it out, trying to get her to.
I really liked. Also, let me mention her real quick. The character of Penny, who was Ricky Lake's best friend in this movie.
Yeah, that's who got the cattle prod. Yeah.
Yes, she is played by an actress that. This is the only movie she ever did, and I'm kind of like, oh, man, that's a bummer, because she was really – I liked her in this movie, you know? I can't even find her name. Hold on. Yeah, I can continue talking. But her mother – I wanted to bring up her mom, Prudence Pringleton.
Who, man, that Karen? You mean Karen?
Dude, Karen.
Oh, and see, like, yeah, she was the original OG Karen.
Once again, I'm watching this movie, and I'm like, this is so – fucking real right now, like, and because Juice, I mean, before people started getting kind of slapped out of their haze lately, white people had the upper hand, and now white people aren't quite feeling like they have the upper hand, and it's making them act out, and
they act real wild out there.
It's insane, man. It's insane. And when I saw
they're panicking.
When I saw Penny's mom, that homeless man asked her for some change.
Yeah, like, that's hilarious.
The drunk.
Doesn't he start it off with like, hey, white lady?
She's like, ah! She's like, here, take whatever you want. He's like, oh, thanks. You want a drink? She's like, ah!
He gave her her purse back.
Yeah, that's what he was like. She was like confused for a second and then just screamed and ran off.
And there's the other people standing off to the side just cracking the fuck up. I love it,
man. Oh, yeah.
And then she goes to talk to a cop, and it's a black cop. And then she
screams and freaks out.
I had to pause the movie because I was laughing so hard. Because when it's not a black cop, I was like, that's perfect. That's a perfect way to end that scene. And then she just gets better.
When she finds Penny in the record store and starts waving her knife around, and Penny's just rolling her eyes like, Jesus, Mom. And she's
and
like,
all the black people act like it's just routine shit. They're like,
yeah, because it is.
It's gonna be fine. She ain't gonna do anything. Like,
oh, it's fantastic stuff, man. Once again, just like I watched this and had to talk with you guys about it. I'm so glad you guys all saw the same movie. So stoked!
Did you guys ever watch the Wire? Did you ever watch The Wire?
I watched the first like 3 or 4 seasons of it.
Because this movie was being set in Baltimore, I kept comparing it to The Wire, like, because Baltimore is known for being pretty bloody and brutal, and that's like, so that scene where they're having like the quote unquote race riot, that's like all I could think of was like, this is the precursor, like this is the prequel to The Wire.
Yeah, we should make a case that like Hairspray is the prequel to The Wire.
You make the middle movie.
That's how it all got started.
Yeah, Hairspray.
All it'll take is one little piece in an interview somewhere. It was like, oh yeah, I was mentioning this thing. Like, shit. Oh shit.
Conspiracies.
You can tell one thing you can tell with this movie though is it was pre-LA riots. Because
I mean, this was
1988.
This was a movie about a simpler time from a simpler time.
Well, you could just tell it was made before, like the '60s shit hit the fan, but with like the riots and the stuff in Miami and all that stuff, like. That's when it came to the forefront that this was really boiling over really hard. I think the riot scene would have gone a little bit differently if it was a little bit later. I mean, I know they want to keep it light. It's not going to have people fucking.
I think what it was more a reflection of what the riots were like in the '60s. They weren't.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's what.
And this was 1988, so the crack epidemic was pretty hardcore hitting black communities.
It was there,
so
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was right before that bubble burst. But again, because this is like a bubble within a bubble that keeps popping. Like, it's 2020. Here we are talking about it again.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Well, it's just a bigger kaboom every decade. Like, eventually it's going to, like, eventually it's going to be the one that changes things. Cause it's
oh, it's this one. Let me just tell you.
Hey, it really does seem like this one, but I never underestimate the power of the machine, man. Like, to figure out a way to mitigate the shit. Like, I'm not saying that they can't do it. I'm saying that every single time I get to the point where I'm like, something just happened that's going to change American society forever. 6 months later, we remember it kind of, and we say, hey, remember when this shit was going on? But it doesn't have the impact that I always thought it was going to be.
This one's global, though. Like, that's it. It ain't just the United States this time. It's the whole world.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's not going to be. I'm just like, I'm never going to be like, for sure, slam dunk, it's done. You know what I mean?
It's almost like coronavirus has kind of gripped everybody in a state of taking things seriously in a way that people wouldn't have taken things seriously in Black Lives Matter if that wouldn't have come along. Because that Black Lives Matter was, you know, important while it happened, but we're still all in such a serious shock of seriousness that we're still taking Black Lives Matter seriously in a time where if coronavirus wouldn't have been around, we would be on to the next thing. Like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. Oh, my God. You know, and
entanglement.
But we're still, I'm seeing people, and it ain't just you, Juice. I'm seeing people every day still, you know, talking about Breonna Taylor and talking about, you know, just all this stuff that needs to be talked about.
Well, I agree, but I also have seen, like, a lot more of my white hillbilly friends talk about some Q conspiracy theories and shit.
Sure.
Like it's 100% true.
Because you're always going to get both sides during all this crazy shit.
Because that matters more than Black lives. That's the thing.
It does to them, yeah. And the issue is, Corona, more than almost anything I can think of in history, like, it started with 9/11, but I think Corona even has this even more, where objective truth just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And with coronavirus, it really doesn't exist. Like, half the countries are saying that masks will literally fucking kill you. Just wearing a mask kills you. And the other half of the country is saying, you know, that's the thing to do. Both sides think they're 100% right and think that they literally have data that backs what they're saying.
Dude, don't get me
started. But only one side does.
I work.
What I'm saying, I'm not saying who's right or who's not. I'm saying objective truth in general doesn't matter anymore. And
I have been to boring city meetings working for the news for the past 6 years of my life, and I've never been to some
my life
where there is a group of there's a group of people off to the side with picket signs and not letting the rational people talk. Yeah. and yelling Trump when they get voted down. I've never seen such a thing in my life ever. Cool. And this is my first day of vacation.
I've seen it on old black and white reels.
Boom. That's what I'm saying. Like, the line has been blurred to the point where there are a lot more people who are awakening to the good shit and understanding how to, like, care about the people around you and everything that we're talking about. Like, it's where there's multiple things going on in the world right now, and there's a lot of people who are awakening to, you know, taking care of people. But there's also a lot of people who think that Chrissy Teigen tweeted 28,000 times about being a pedophile because she went to Jeffrey Epstein's island, and we need to attack John Legend's wife for a month on Twitter because she clearly has sex slaves in her dungeon.
Wow, you've gone deeper than I have. I don't know anything about that. Hairspray!
Hey, did you guys read
Let's talk about John Waters' hairspray, which is what anybody would have clicked on to listen to.
That's true. Did you guys read up on Ricky Lake? What happened to her with this movie?
Go for it.
Ricky Lake died
in 91. You guys didn't know that?
It was like a Beatles thing. They put an imposter Ricky Lake in. Yeah. The talk show host is not the same girl as Hairspray.
It was Ricky Fake, dog.
Ricky Fake all day.
So jeez, apparently Louise. She had to put so much shit in her hair to make
put
this.
Shit in her hair?
Yeah.
Oh, she's like going literal, bald now.
Literal shit. Yeah. So she fried her hair so bad in this movie that she went bald later in life.
No way, really?
Yeah. Like it like ruined her.
Have you ever met any of the old Pentecostal ladies around here?
Yeah, they're not.
They all have comb over.
Fucking boat.
They've got like burgundy comb overs. I see them all the time.
They're like pink haired Donald Trump. Sunday morning.
Andrew and Dusty, you guys are right. I see a lot of bald Pentecostal ladies. I see that. Okay, so hold up. Is it the hairspray or the dye? What happened here?
I think it's
the peroxide.
It's all the shit. It's the peroxide,
Jacob. It's the sin.
Goes deep in the scalp.
It does. No shit. Kills it at the roots. At the roots.
You know what though? Is worth it. I fucking love her. This movie.
She was 5'3", 260 pounds when she made this movie.
She was a fucking American dream in this movie. I loved her so much. I can't stop fucking fawning over her. Like, she won me over from moment one. Divine, I'm going to talk about Divine, like, sold me completely as her mother. Like, I was transfixed by this movie, dude. Penny as her best friend. You got Ricky Lake. You got her mom. You got Jerry.
Great villains.
Jerry Stiller up in here.
Hey, everybody, fucking salute Jerry
fucking
Stiller.
Fucking salute Jerry.
Yeah. Rest
man.
In peace.
Yeah, man.
And he was in the 2007 one as well.
He was.
Really?
He played the guy who owns the dress shop for fat girls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember reading that. I'm going to watch that version. I'm actually interested, and I can't believe it too, because like I don't usually like musicals, but I watched the opening, the Baltimore song or whatever, and I busted a small tear while watching that. And I don't know what it is about.
Busted a tear.
No, just weird. One.
I really did. I fucking I just
bust a tear.
Bust a tear.
It's a song for all the pussies who were fucking.
I didn't need that visual bit. I didn't need that at all. Man.
You guys know shit makes me cry.
Like, I cry all the time, too,
dude. Yeah.
Like, happy, a happy feeling that feels like somebody's dreams are coming true.
Yeah.
Makes me cry immediately.
I got a
was
little
it when
little
she was feeding the rats?
That was cute. That was cute.
Oh, no. It was fantastic. And dude, she. Anyway. I really want to. I want to see the remake. John Travolta. I saw a little bit of that. That's a little weird. I don't know. I think it's weird because
I didn't know that's what he played.
It is weird because he does a weird Baltimore accent the whole time.
Yeah, it's just a little. Yeah. And Walken being his husband, you know, it's different.
That's Pulp Fiction reunion.
Yeah, this mm-hmm. ain't your mama's hairspray. This is Quentin Tarantino's hairspray. So
he had that hairspray up his ass.
does the sign on my line say Negro Day?
That's
hey, does your wife sew? Bang, get her to sew that.
Get her to sew that. Sew that dress for fat chicks. How about the guy who owns the dress shop? Like, he has donuts in there to keep his clientele fat. And then, like, when he's announcing her at the end, he's like, he was, like, being super brutal. He's like, if you're a fucking fat piece of shit, lazy. Like, he was just going off. Just, that's the thing about this movie. Like, it's
that's the John Waters. That's the John Waters right there, man.
Is it mean to fat people because it doesn't understand that it's also mean to be fat people, or is it mean to be fat people because society's mean to be fat people?
I think it's the second one, because he also made the fat girl the hero. And outside of the one bitchy girl, the surprising thing is, and I know this doesn't usually happen in real life, but everyone supported her. She got like the handsome boy and everything. Yeah. Like it wasn't
like was supportive in this movie.
Yeah,
she was the hero.
yeah, the parents were supportive, her friends were supportive. It wasn't everything, feel good. It does have that sort of like lovable quality because you're like, yeah, these are like the outcasts, but like they have a good support system with them. They're not just like everybody's telling them they're shit and it's depressing. They're like, nah, they've all got like a thing. But then that's where it's like the naive part because where we're all like, oh, she's fat, she gets to be popular. We're like, also, the black kids can't dance here, you know?
Yeah.
Well, then you know those places... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're fine.
I was gonna say there's still places in like Mississippi where they don't have integrated prom. They have segregated prom.
Really?
It still exists. Yes, I watched a documentary on this not too long ago. Yeah, segregated proms are still a thing. They would like the black kids would go to the school's prom, but because the white parents didn't want their kids there, they would book a place that was at the same time. And it would just be the white kids only.
Dude. It's outside Northside.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just going to move to a new school on the south side.
You know, I mean, I think it's still going to be another 20. There'll be another Hairspray 1988's worth of time before this stuff
is
maybe really
I don't work out. I don't know shit about shit. So is this the first Hairspray?
Yes.
Like, is this based off of something else?
No, this John is Waters actually wrote Hairspray. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
John Waters was the creative mind behind all of this, and that's why I love it. It's really good.
So, the strangest fucking thing about this to me is that I wish my kid was awake so I could fucking have her tell some of the goings on behind the scenes of when the high school decided to do Hairspray and all the shit that they want to fucking change in this shit.
Oh, I'll bet.
It is just like, so why the fuck even do it? Like, who decides?
We want all the groovy dancing and costumes, but none of the racial subtext.
We want the black music, but not the black people. Yeah. Segregation today, segregation tomorrow.
Yeah.
And hey, dude,
One of them, there are my oldest or my middle daughter, there were two black kids in school, in like our school, and they wouldn't let them play characters in the play.
They wouldn't?
Like, not even Seaweed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, no, we're going to have a white kid play Seaweed.
Yeah, no. People won't like that. You know what I mean? That kind of bullshit. And this is fucking a few years ago. Was there a pregnancy scare in the movie?
There seemed to be in the remake.
And the musical there is.
Okay, so then that was something that was brought up that was going to be done at the one at school, and no, you can't do that. You can't do have the pregnancy scare thing and all that shit. It's just like, so why? Just do the fucking passion play, chalk it up as a win, go home. Let's try to push the boundaries with Hairspray. That's not going to happen here.
Dusty, were you in my grade?
I think I was like a year ahead of you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, then Jacob, you probably.
Yeah, because Jacob failed, and then that put him in grade with you.
Do you? I don't know if you guys did it. Surely you did. Where we did songs from around the world, and for the deep in the heart of tech. What we did was we watched a video of all these kids doing these little musical numbers, and then it's called
Kid Songs.
Yeah,
it's called
Kid
Songs.
Yeah. One of the girls clapping her hands to "Deep in the Heart of Texas" is a little black girl with a little House on the Prairie kind of outfit on.
Yeah,
and so they decided to paint old Stephanie Hurst up in blackface and have her clap around. And everyone thought that was such a precious and fun thing. Yeah, that was in the 80s when I went to school.
Okay,
yeah,
there is a video of me and Jacob in the fourth grade, and the entire program around the world.
It's on my YouTube.
Yes, just a bunch of in Southern Logan County white kids doing Day-O.
Harry Belafonte.
I was Deo sketch because I was super thinking like picking this as one of my picks.
I'd be like, we need to watch this and critique me and Jacob's fourth grade selves in this thing because it's atrocious. It's atrocious.
We can do it on the Patreon. I'm down to do that on the Patreon.
We sat around in here one, like, this was a thing that I've had since grade school that I think I got it to Jacob on VHS and he got it burned onto some disc so it could live on. And then he puts it on YouTube, so it's everywhere. But it's like this, it's this weird ass little snippet. There's a little bit too much of me in it. Because there's like a Japanese, the kids song sketch. They go to England and then France and then fucking wherever else they go, Japan. And there were too many kids in our class to have us all into one of the little segments. So somebody had the bright idea to take some music from Karate Kid 2 or 3.
Yeah, it was Karate Kid 2.
At the time. Yeah. And I was in karate at the time. I think Jacob was in karate at the time. So it was like, oh, hey, they're in karate. We'll make a whole extra Japanese scene for all these boys to do, like, fucking karate fighting. And it's pretty sad because the camera – it's mostly sad because the camera's on me through most of the time because a lady from our church was there recording this for my mom. So, of course, when I was up, it's like, oh, shit. Dusty's the only one we're going to get in this thing, which is – I got kicked in the face because it was like a 15-minute long song, dude. We had
I just sent a copy of this to everybody in the podcast.
Oh, shit.
Here we go.
Now we so can't how old were you?
Dude, we were –
this was 89, so this
was – fourth grade, maybe?
Fourth grade.
Okay, yeah. So I paused it. Are either of you in this shot?
That would be me.
Dusty is right there in the red. In the
this guy?
Shot.
No.
This guy?
So, yeah, he's that guy.
Right there. Yeah,
that's me.
Okay, there's our buddy Dusty.
For anybody not watching on YouTube, I'm so sorry. We'll stop this real soon.
Yeah, we absolutely will.
This will make you realize if you go over to YouTube.
Are you in a gi?
The footage of Dusty.
Yeah, dude. I was in karate. I was in fucking karate, dude.
I don't know where I'm at.
I'm going to watch this.
Jacob's like way over here on the right.
Yeah, so we can watch this later. Let's talk about Hairspray.
Dude, I was just looking to see if it would show you on the right. All right. Watch us on YouTube. We'll do something on Patreon for this.
Sure, yeah, that's fine. Let's do that.
Man, I now know what Dusty looks like without a beard.
Word.
That's great.
Word.
That's exactly what I look like without a beard. That's why I have it. If I shave this shit off today, you could just do a deep fake of me onto that little fucking dude right there, and it would fit. I look exactly the fucking same.
What Dusty comes across is racism ain't nothing new to us Boomba folk. If you listen to Refund, in fact, I took down, I won't say which one, but I took down an episode of Refund Theater the other day because I was listening to some back episodes and I was like, what I just said was questionable. So I'm going to take it down. I'm going to do a little re-editing. And, you know, I mean, like, because, like,
I remember those days.
Editing of history.
There were a couple things when I would watch before I was ever on the show where I was like, God damn. And I say some shit on this show, but even me, I'd be listening to it. I'm like, man, I'm surprised Ben wasn't like, hey, Jacob.
Oh, it always made me look great. I was like pristine and clean when it came to anything I said or did, no matter how dark it got. Like, it never touched the uncomfortable levels.
It really came from the ignorance of not. I mean, I even feel like I'm 40 years old, and I feel like it was only 10 years ago I started seeing the real world for what it is. I mean, like, and now, I mean, especially, I'm like, oh, even the other day, like, I don't remember what it was, but the reporter I work with, who's African American, like, she schooled me on some shit, and I didn't even realize. I was just like, oh my God, I'm being racist right now. Holy shit. And so, like, it's constant, like, and, you know, it's micro-racism, but it's like, this stuff's got to die, man, because, like, this stuff's still very alive in the town we lived in. And it's very alive.
It's everywhere.
It's very my alive hometown in the town I live in now.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And it's so, it's honestly so ego-driven and stupid that it's just really got to die. Because, I mean, people are people. Nobody can help what they look like. Nobody, it's so fucking stupid to judge people for such simple things. It's wrong. It's wrong! Hairspray!
Well, you know, it's funny, like, because I hadn't seen this. I thought I had seen this movie. And then, like, this morning I got into, like, a war of words on Instagram from some people from my hometown that were just like, apparently I'm not cool anymore because I don't like Trump.
Weird.
Like, yeah, I'm racist.
What?
I've been brainwashed by the left and that they are going to, you know, I'm the victim and I need to stop thinking that white privilege is real.
Like, what?
People I've known for years. People I've known for years. And I'm just like, bro, like, no. Like, not at all. You didn't know me at all, is what you just told me. Because I've been the same dude.
This is like, yeah, dude, I've known you for years. You've been exactly like this the entire time. And you even schooled me on multiple things where I was just like, duh, 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 duh. And you're like, Jacob, that's kind of racist. And I'm like, oh, fuck, it is. Because, like, seriously, we got three dudes that can attest here. We grew up in a place where this shit didn't exist because you guys didn't exist.
Yeah, y'all made sure of that. That's
you
why
guys weren't probably real. You guys were in the movies. You guys were...
Yeah,
it's not right that there's even still communities like this. Honestly,
Jacob, how do you?
It's worse. Man. Oh,
sorry. You were the boogeyman to this town.
Yeah,
yeah, that's yeah. I'm real scary. I don't know if y'all know that, but I'm super duper scary.
How do you guys feel about honestly, them?
You try to walk through, especially in the 1980s or 1990s. You try to just walk through my town's about 6 miles long. You try to walk through that town, trouble.
I know. Trust me, when you grow up black, you learn about, like, I knew all about Arkansas's history before I ever went to Arkansas. Like, you know, you get taught certain stories. Like,
it's bragged about the sundown towns around here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a point of pride to some of these motherfuckers.
Where's that mass grave
out here?
Yeah, that mass grave where they burned like the I can't remember how many black little boys they just put in a school and set on fire. Like, yeah, Arkansas's got some history, but so does Oklahoma. I mean,
yeah.
Well, dude,
it's bad all over.
I drove through Oklahoma, and like horizontally, and I was looking out the window going, these people vote for the same president as the people who live in where I'm from. Like, and it's like, you know, 70 miles of trees and then just shitball little town with one store and one church and everybody's got a truck and then 50 miles of trees and then this shitball little town with a little tiny schoolhouse and a school. Like, it was just that all the way through. Like, there must be a way you go straight through Oklahoma and you don't hit any of the, like, Oklahoma City or, like, any of the big cities, because I just went fucking rural town to rural town to rural town. And I'm looking out the window and I'm like, man, I understand how these people don't understand, like, people who are different from them, because they don't see any of them. And
nope.
There's 50 people in this town. They all know each other and they all go to the same store and the same school and the same church and all that stuff. And it's like, man, like, I hate that it exists, but I get how it exists. You know what I mean?
And it's taught. Well, it's you know, it's a taught
it's thing. It's the learn thing. There's a little bit of just our roots that come in it anyway. You know, we got to keep to ourselves. We got to keep to our clans here. We got to keep to our fucking people. Anybody coming in, the enemy, you know, there's always got to be that other to justify any of our shit. So.
On stolen land. That's the funny part. Right? Yeah. It's like y'all came here by choice and destroyed everything. Not you guys particularly, but you destroyed everything. Destroyed the environment. Destroyed almost the entire planet at this point. And then you want to blame the other people. It's black people. It's Mexicans. It's anybody but us. Like, that's what I was dealing with this morning. Yeah. It was definitely not me.
We just watched the episode of South Park the other day where the Native Americans that own the casinos, they decided they need to expand to Denver. To do that, they needed to build a highway through what would be South Park and destroy South Park. And all these South Parkians are like, you can't destroy our land and take our land for no reason, for your own. And it was a fantastic episode and so ironic, of course. And, but yeah, man. And even seeing, you know, because John Waters grew up during the segregation times. What he's filming here is absolutely what he saw back in the day. You know, I'm sure, especially as a gay man, like, he was really into dancing, and he was really into maybe dancing with, you know, like.
As a gay man,
he
was straight really man not dance.
He was probably into poppers, and
I thought you got a real like Homer. That. No, but that goes back. We'll hit the Homer's phobia episode in a little bit, but I'm just saying, like, you know, he probably saw a lot of this because, you know, myself, like, I wasn't ever really into like dancing, so I don't know what's going on in the dance clubs, and I don't know if I would have been into that in the '60s or whatever, but. Like, this seems like he was really hip to what was happening. And it's so funny seeing, like, Ricky Lake going out and protesting and stuff like that, and then running away when the cops show up and stuff like that, because it's just so fucking now, man.
Hey, who was the beatnik?
It was Rick Ocasek.
Rick Ocasek, from the Cars, the lead singer.
Yeah, that's who I thought it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was Janine Garofalo at first, and I was like, wait a minute. That's not Janine Garofalo.
No, the painter.
That
there was two of them.
Yeah, that would have been a great movie. Janine Garofalo. Who is that?
He is Isadora,
yes.
I don't know her.
She was like a late 70s, early 80s cutie pie.
Mm. She was Sonny Bono.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sonny Bono. Dude.
Yeah.
My wife thought Sonny Bono was the drummer for the Beatles.
I confused the two of them because they look the same to me.
She thought what?
Earlier, she was like, Gracie, we were watching this, and she's like, talking to her daughter. She's like, that's Sonny Bono, the drummer from the Beatles.
In my defense, I was drunk. She was drunk. And when I was a kid, I got them confused all the time. So it just,
I mean, I could believe it.
Yeah.
They look the same.
They look alike.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. I'll give them.
They're kind of interchangeable.
Yeah, they are. They are. but anyway, Sonny Bono was, you know, he was great in this movie. Him and Debbie Harry. What was Debbie Harry planning to do with that bomb? I got to know.
I don't know.
It was something cartoonish. It was very Looney Tunes.
Yeah, it was very Wile E. Coyote going on up in there. But
that's probably going to be more relevant in the next year or so when – somebody from the other side actually does that at one of the protests.
When a Karen explodes herself. Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Let them white supremacists kill themselves. Literally. Let them literally. Do it. They won't do it right.
You know what?
They're going to mess it up.
It's so funny how, as a naive American years ago, you would watch footage of people doing the stuff we're doing now, and even what you're talking about, going a little further and, you know, killing themselves to kill a bunch of people. And, like, back then I was just like, oh, no, man, this is America. Actually, I was listening to our Lawnmower Man 2 episode. It was like our 17th episode or something like that. And, Ben, you remember that one, Lawnmower Man 2?
Vaguely, yeah.
So anyway, we were talking about how Lawnmower Man takes place in 1992, Lawnmower Man 2 takes place in 1996, and by then it's like a Blade Runner-esque future, you know. And you were even talking about how, like, it's crazy how in only a few years fascism has completely taken place and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I'm listening to this shit, and I'm just like, oh, my God, this is how fast it happens. Like, oh. I mean.
Honestly, fascism has been creeping since 9/11, my personal opinion.
Sure. Dude, don't get me started. That's a whole nother Patreon podcast that people can pay to listen to.
Yeah, I'm not going to be on that.
9/11 podcast? Yeah, fuck. 9/11
refund theater episode. We'll do, you know what? We'll do my movie. There's a Nicolas Cage.
It's just going to be you, Jacob, talking.
I'd rather be in one
Twitch
of those buildings, Jacobs.
Hold up, though. There's a Nicolas Cage movie about 9/11. We can just do that.
It's, oh, really? Yeah, no.
Well, you have to pick it, dog. You got turns.
I'm out.
Yeah. There was a good 9/11 movie and there was a bad 9/11 movie, and that one was the bad one.
Was the good one Fahrenheit 9/11?
No, the good one was United 93.
Definitely not Fahrenheit.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, because it was the good one. No one saw the good one.
I thought you were going to say Con Air.
Is there one with a dog?
I'm going to say, Ben, that the movie you saw a fucking movie about is, you know, that plane, there was no evidence that it even crashed. So, you know.
There was absolutely no evidence other than all the video evidence. Outside of all the video evidence, there was no video evidence.
See if there's a plane involved in any of it. It's just a black piece of grass, man.
You know, yeah. JFK wasn't even shot. No evidence.
The moon doesn't exist.
Speaking of, guys, I watched
it's just a mirror
movie. Have you guys seen JFK the movie?
Yeah, it's flawed. Don't believe it. It's a good movie.
It's a movie, Jacob.
It's a good movie, but don't believe it, Jacob, because the theories that it has put out have been categorically debunked since.
Like, even Do we know this man
all too well? That immediately when he mentions in the movie, we got to be like, Jacob, no, dude.
Jacob, no.
Don't take this as fact, man. This isn't a documentary.
He mentioned that he was going to watch that movie at one point, and I was like, oh, man, Jacob's life's about to change.
Yeah.
He's about to see everything differently now.
I just watched
Kevin Costner is a good actor. Yes. He's gonna think that fucking the biggest conspiracy of all time happened. Because he's like, oh no, dude, you stand back and to the left, man. It was really convincing. Yeah.
There's no magic bullet. There's no magic bullet. There was just bad understanding of science
and physics.
The general public.
Yeah.
How it actually works. There's an ignorance. Even whenever I learned about it years later, I was like, oh shit, yeah, there's things that the human body does that don't work the way you know what's funny? This is an aside. We're not talking about hairspray. But, you know, silencers don't exist. Not in the way that they're portrayed in movies. But yet, it's like we're all adults when we find out. Because we watch so many fucking movies that contain shit that doesn't actually happen in real life. That when we see real life, we're like, that looks fake. I saw a guy get murdered on World Star. And, like, it was fake. He just dropped and collapsed.
Yeah,
like,
he didn't go, and jump through
anything, man. It was fake.
Hey, I've been Juice.
Jacob, we've talked about this, too. I've been there, too, and I've stood on the X, and I turned around, and I could hit that fucking shot if I was throwing a rock, Jacob.
Let's say that Corny Collins killed JFK and get on with the podcast.
I could hit it with a spitball through a straw. I could have hit JFK in the back of the head from that.
Yeah, they were going pretty slow, and they didn't have the goddamn hood up.
Christ.
Real question is, why didn't they build a statue of him?
Of Lee Harvey Oswald?
No.
After him holding
the gun. They should have put him right there on the street. Lee Harvey Oswald, horrible man, great shot. Really great shot.
Really good. This is a real, real impressive marksman.
As Texans, we don't want to give it to him because he murdered the president. Yeah. But the president was a liberal Democrat, and we got to give good shooting, good shoot. We got to give you a good shot. Man,
he hit that thing right.
He felt threatened.
He felt threatened by JFK. Now, he really, he was a dirty communist, but, you know, Yeah, it's like it's a. We didn't know whether to lead. You know, it's like, yeah, he was a dirty communist, but he stood his ground, and that's a Texas value we want to let the kids. They need to know about their history, because if there wasn't a statue of Lee Harvey Oswald, no one would know his name.
Who? Everybody would forget about him.
Everyone would forget the fuck about him.
Sorry for that.
Christ, guys.
Meanwhile, I don't know the names of any of these goddamn slave owning statues we've got. Littered up and down the South. I don't know a goddamn one of these people. I couldn't tell you a name of one of them. I can tell you Lee Harvey Oswald. Put a fucking David Berkowitz statue up. Put a Dahmer Charles statue Manson. Up in Milwaukee. Yeah.
Like, just any Ted Cruz in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God. You mean the Zodiac Killers, since we're doing the serial killers. That's what you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
This Hairspray episode has inspired exactly what John Waters wanted.
Yeah.
John Waters.
This is the kind of conversation John Waters would like.
Yeah, and
is John Waters alive?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, man, he's thriving, dude. He's John Waters. It's fucking crazy how a guy can become so legendary off of directing only a handful of movies, honestly.
Low budget movies too.
Yeah, Dusty, what were you gonna say there?
What?
Were you gonna say something?
No. Did you want? No.
Oh, that's good podcast material, guys.
I'm gonna start doing that just randomly.
What was you gonna say, Dusty?
What were you about to say, Dusty, about that?
I don't know. I don't know.
It looked like somebody was about to speak up, but no,
I forgot.
Honestly, I think the 60s would have been a really insane time to live through. I see how people that grew up in the 60s became some of the boomers that they are now.
And, yeah. This whole movie is like boomer boot camp. Like,
yeah.
You are just raising people to grow up and hate people and be fucking assholes.
it's such an elitist asshole. I mean, like... And you know what? I even, once again, I've been listening to every episode lately, just kind of trying to skim through them. And, you know, anybody that's a Trumper probably doesn't listen to this podcast, because we've made our position clear on many times that, you know, we don't stand for hate. We don't stand for, you know, ignorance.
I hate all kinds of shit.
Yeah. I stand for hate.
I specifically don't like that fucking guy. Like, if you want to say it like that, like I just that fucking guy. I don't like him.
He's un-American. Love.
He should go back to his own country.
Well, you know what though? It's more of a. I got love for them because I look at people like that as unevolved instead of maybe, you know.
Goddamn right, I'm unevolved. No. I didn't come from no goddamn ape. I came from fucking Adam's Rib, motherfucker.
I feel like...
So you're a lady?
That's your Sunday bonnet?
That dumb bitch ate an apple.
That's right. I am a goddamn lady. Anybody, I ate Adam. I came from that rib.
Even these... I've been to these meetings lately, as I mentioned, and there's these no-maskers that... They even bring props, dude. One of them brought a tennis racket. One of them brought a tennis racket to show everybody that he could... Swat a fly with that tennis racket, and that's pretty much how effective the mask is.
This is a Parks and Rec episode.
One of them brought a mask with a hole in the mouth and the nose, and he's like, I'm wearing a mask, ha ha. And he thinks he's fucking hilarious, man. And like every single one, every single one of these people look like Boomvillians. I say that as a Boomvillian, but they look. Like, they got a level of inbred looking
bunch of underbites,
lopsided faces,
insufficiently educated,
insufficiently educated, a little bit of meth mouth, a little bit of that,
mm-hmm. a little bit of generational miscare. There's a lot of that around here.
Their sisters are breastfeeding.
just generational, tossed to the side, you know.
You know, I
got a bad camshaft.
I was just looking at my notes and I realized we haven't talked a lick one about the plot of Hairspray. No, I mean, but if anybody's listening to us and they haven't seen the movie, they're like, I don't know what this movie's about. I guess it's about race riots or something. Does anybody
want to do a quick one?
Yeah, okay. In the year 2020, in an alternate universe. Yeah. All right. Young plump Tracy lives in Baltimore in the early 60s, and she wants to get on the Corny Collins show, which is where the hip dancers are. It's kind of like White Soul Train. And she wants to be on TV, and so she goes and dances, and she dances it up, and everybody's like, hey, man, what a great dancer you are. And she gets on the show. And I guess throughout the rest of the movie is just the hijinks involved with that. eventually they go to the integration starts to come into the picture. Eventually Tracy and her boyfriend go out to chant and march for Integration Now. And her boyfriend Link, who was the Elvis-looking dude, he gets both of his kneecaps, from what I can tell, completely broken and blown out from an old lady's purse. From a purse.
Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, he gets Lieutenant Dan'd. He got some old lady Nancy Kerrigan'd his ass, like, to the point where he was dragging his dead limbs on the asphalt, screaming for Tracy. I was like, holy shit! I missed it, too. I was like, what the fuck? Did the cops, like, just wail on him? And I was like, nope, just got hit with a purse on both kneecaps and went down.
Yeah, that was a little
scary. So Corny Collins is also secretly like, he's like, yeah, I want integration. And yeah. The end of the movie is they integrate the dance, I think, and then
they bust her out of the jail. And, she goes to jail for the protest.
Mm-hmm.
Which so they called the
race. A cop.
Look, can we please stop calling these things race riots? Like here's the connotation. The connotation is that it's black people doing all of the bad stuff with race riots. It never assumes that it's white people that have a problem with the black people when they say race riots. Like when they say the Tulsa race riots, people think, black people must have been losing their minds. It's like, no, it was just white people hurting them, killing them. Let's just call them massacres. Or in this case, I don't know what you would call this, white hysteria.
Yeah,
they just lost it.
It was just a hootenanny gone wrong, you know what I mean?
Watch a pajama game. There's a hootenanny gone wrong.
I appreciate the shift of what's happening right now because, I mean, like, back to it, I listened to those old episodes and we were so free to just be like, la, la, la. And I now listen to them and I go, oh, shit, take that one down. But, you know, it might not even be something that would even offend you, Juice. But, like...
Okay, Jacob. I know you're racist.
Hey, man. I didn't... That's the thing. You know what a lot of people do? You know what a lot of people do?
Hey, man.
You know, and I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to say it as a kid from Louisville, Arkansas. A lot of people feel defensive when they get called out for being racist. Mm-hmm. And they immediately say they're not racist because that's what people do anytime they feel defensive about anything. I didn't do it, you know, or whatever. But
not in their defense, but being called racist feels about as good as being called a child molester. So, I mean,
exactly. But you know what? Like I said with my coworker the other day, she didn't make me feel like that. She just made me realize that even simple ideas that I have from my small town raising are offensive to people of her culture. And I never even would have thought about any of that until it was brought up, honestly, because, you know, nobody sees anybody else's side until they either hear about it and believe it or they, you know, really, you know, experience something like that.
You got to get out of your bubble. That's the real problem is that most people, I mean, it's amazing to stay in your hometown and be progressive because nobody else in your hometown is.
Oh, Dusty is a perfect example of that. Dusty Strickland right here fucking lives in the hive of racism. And I got out.
Exhausted.
I got to a place that's 50% progressive. And Dusty is still in 0.1% progressive. And that 0.1 is my friend Dusty Strickland.
Hey, my mom is sort of still in Booville, too. So she's
hey,
with
fuck
you,
yeah,
Dusty.
Man. Your mom's cool, too.
Yeah, I have a family, too. Like, I've done a good job raising them. Like,
yeah, that's got, true. Like, yeah, it's not like you just got a bunch of racist daughters and a racist
five.
Yeah,
at least five of them are good.
You know what? Stop real quick. Go ahead and say what you're going
to. We like to lead by example down here.
Stop real quick. Go ahead and say what you're going to say. But I'm really glad because I thought the Hairspray movie would cause this conversation. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
The weird introduction.
Who are you telling go ahead to?
To Dusty. Yeah.
Was I saying some shit, dude? That was forever ago.
What were you going to say?
What's that?
Dusty, you better say it.
Andrew, you were going to say something. What was that?
Oh, Dusty was a town communist. You're the town communist, right?
Yeah, dude.
Filthy commie.
You didn't know?
All right.
You didn't know? Lil Rush over here in fucking South Logan County.
But don't they love Russia now? I'm so confused.
Like, man, I don't know.
They love Russia in very specific context.
Do they? Dusty, has a customer ever told you ought to rename this place fucking Karl Marx fucking garage?
No. I doubt that name has even been uttered in that garage unless me or Grady said it.
That's true.
Or when, like, I had to, it just, I don't know why today it sunk in, but I was sitting there working on something, and my dad is 74. His buddy Ed that run that shop with him the whole time you knew us.
Holy shit.
He's 70. He's 70, 72 or so. So there's like four limp dicks sitting over here on this bench. And and I'm working, and I become like loud and clear that my dad is describing one of those Kermit the Frog memes where he's like drinking the tea and he's like yeah, but that's none of my business. And I was just like, my dad is explaining a Kermit the Frog meme, like just telling him like it's the funniest goddamn thing he has ever heard in his fucking life. And I walked over like, Grady, memes aren't fun anymore. Like, this is getting too out of hand.
It's never cool when the parents start dancing.
No, like, motherfucker's 74 and he's making TikTok
videos.
He's singing, he's lip syncing to Vitamin C on the phone.
Doing the watches.
Yeah. Every time he calls me, he's got like doe eyes and fucking antlers and shit.
One time on the news, I saw they didn't have a picture of like a victim of like a fucking accident, and so that was like the first thing they ran was like somebody with like the doe eyes and like an antlers and shit. They didn't run it the next newscast. They found better pictures. She's dead. I saw one picture of like a girl who took a picture of like her grandmother at like in her casket, like dead, with like,
yeah,
the little,
I saw
like
that
the little,
too.
The fun, yeah, like little anime eyes and shit.
Wow.
That's why I want to be left out in the woods, man. I don't want people doing that shit to me. I want to be buried like I was like murdered. You know, just deep out in the woods somewhere, no coffin. Let nature take.
I believe Arkansas
shallow
grave. You have to be in something.
You have to. Well, what if I can I get shipped to another state?
If you're in a cardboard box, that's about a natural burial you can have in Arkansas.
Oh, I can do a cardboard box.
Yeah, I could too. I mean, I'm going to be cremated, so it ain't going to make a fuck one way or the other. So,
but I don't
but
know,
if you
man.
Wanted to, if you wanted
what
to
if,
do like a natural
what if
back
when
to
Jesus
the worms
comes back, you need your body. My stepdad used to say that because, like, my mom's is going to get cremated. And he was like, you can't do it. Cause like when Jesus comes back, we're going to need our physical, even though if it's rotted and dead, like he'll be
terrified of that.
That's called mental illness.
Who's terrified of that?
Numerous people. You want to talk about cremation around here? People start losing their fucking shit.
I got to tell you something.
Wow.
I don't believe, but at the same time, that shit was like so hardwired early on, the whole culture of that town. I still get a little bit spooked about cremation, so I've just decided I'm not going to do it. I'll do any other thing, really. Like, even though I don't really think it matters at all, there is something about, like, I feel like I should just, like, go back to the earth or something, you know, like just naturally just get eaten back up by the earth.
Well, that's when I looked into it. I was like, that's what I want. If I've got to do something like that, just back to worm food.
Yeah.
You have to be in at least a cardboard box,
which will disintegrate after like a few years.
So it's like
it's the same difference.
But what's in you that's going to contaminate the soil? That's the problem.
That is true. We don't have enough. We don't have a lot of, like, there's some places have issues with like not having enough land to bury people and shit. So it would be great is if we just started. And honestly, this is what I would dig totally is getting shot out into space. Just like if we had a space cannon. Just shoot bodies up into space.
That's my number one thing, because if you think about it, so you just keep – somebody's going to get lucky and fly into, like, a super advanced civilization. And if they're super advanced, they're going to be like
– they can wake you up. They can, like, bring you back to life.
Let's figure out what this shit used to be.
Like Mila Jovovich?
And then they just remake it.
Are you describing the plot of Fifth Element?
It would be. It would be Mila Jovovich.
The inverse of that would be that.
It ends up being Mila Jovovich. the inverse. For, like, sex slave or some shit.
The inverse of that would be that instead of ever finding advanced civilization, we just advance in the next 1,000 years so much to where now, like, 1,000 years from now, we're like, those motherfuckers, because they're always just running into bodies, which cause catastrophic failure. If you just hit one, if one's just flying through space, now we've reached places where it's like, God damn it, why did past us throw all these goddamn bodies out here? It's like, we have to worry about little rocks and shit. Like, we don't need to be worrying about corpses just floating around. Sure enough, like, you hit warp speed and then bam, whole mission is gone. People are obliterated because there's a goddamn corpse hanging out in space.
Yeah. In today's news, a million people died in the near-Earth shuttle when some asshole from the fucking 2020s fucking smashed into the side of the fucking ship, caused a hull breach, suffocated the entire crew.
He was wearing a t-shirt that said, I'll wear a mask on my dead body.
The MAGA hat on the windshield.
Listen, guys. Cremation is the best way to go if you want to, you know, preserve your dead loved one or whatever, because they're not there anymore.
What about taxidermy? Wouldn't that cemetery be the best option to preserve
That's not that either. Cemeteries are the biggest waste of real estate in this country, and I'll just say that.
Fine. I mean, can't we just build
a next to churches? I've ordered everybody in my family to cut my tattoos off and have them tanned. Like, you're going to pass that down.
Well, we were talking about everybody getting shot into space. You were right about that. We're gonna get hoarded. Eventually, somebody's gonna get bombarded by 50 bodies. But what if the place that figures out how to reanimate dead bodies is Earth? So, like, they figured it out. Like, you get shot out into space, hoping that
you're way off. They're like, well, we could have helped him, you know.
There's, like, no way they could get to you. So
we're regrowing people from the DNA of their bones at this point. Yeah. We're like, we don't have anything to regrow your long-lost son. He's fucking in space.
He took the space gamble. The people who took the space gamble, it didn't pay off. The Earth.
Tesla cannon has been shut down. There's no more space barrels.
Hairspray.
Hairspray. Speaking of science fiction, hairspray.
Guys, okay, it's been a while. We can go ahead and go. That was
fun. Real quick, there's a few notes on what I just. Man. I did enjoy Jerry Stiller's line of, you may think working at the joke shop is all drudgery and inventory. That's just a very like sort of Simpsons-y sort of line.
And when also, he was gonna leave, and he did the little like, he's like, he did that little
like move. I also love when Tracy and Link are making out in the alleyway, and she goes, "This is so romantic," and then kicks a rat off her shoe. Yeah, that's very like a charming little John Waters.
That's the scene where they also say they are black in their souls.
That's immediately she goes, "I wish I had dark skin."
Yeah, we didn't comment on that.
And then Elvis is like, "Oh, Tracy, we're black in our souls." That's how he says
like,
it.
What?
A horrible actor who has three lines in this movie, but he can dance.
That's right. Just the Wiggas of the 60s.
All right, Jacob.
Ooh, man, we just had to. Well, there's something you got to edit out now.
6 months from today, Jacob's gonna be. He's gonna get to the hairspray episode. Like, oh man, the one where I started talking.
I'd like for you to find the percentages of episodes you've had to take down. And, like, who was at fault for saying something offensive that it had to be taken down? I would really like to see my percentage of episodes taken down.
It'd be pretty low, my friend.
Jacob's gonna do some soul searching. You need like a re-education camp.
I didn't do some black soul searching. Dusty is still living in the hive of scum and villainy, and he's the one that's lesser.
It's a wild west out here.
Yeah, that's true.
Maskless. Maskless.
Man, bless you. That would drive me crazy.
Juice. Hey. Hey, buddy.
What's up?
When you first started this movie, you wrote a message to us that was like, it's immediately racist.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Hairspray? Because I know, because that's how I felt when I first watched it. I was like, that's racist. And then, like, Ashley told me, she's like, movie's about racism, and I go, wait a minute, I thought this movie was about dancing. So how did you feel ultimately after messaging that to us and then seeing the whole movie?
I mean, there was still a lot of racism in it. I mean, but that was kind of that was the point. I didn't know that at first, because I honestly hadn't watched the musical since it came out, so I really forgot what the story was, and I wasn't sure if the story was the same. It's not exactly the same. There's no dad in the musical, the villains.
The villain doesn't. Yeah, there's no Sonny Bono.
There's no Sonny Bono.
There's no psychiatrist.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, there's no psychiatrist. There is a flasher, but I thought it was done really, really tastefully. I felt like obviously. Gay people, black people have piggybacked off of each other's, you know, rise. So like if any minority group in America is fighting for change, the other group is right there behind them, normally to some degree trying to push them on because they know that they can get a chance too. And so this movie is kind of like that in action. Like you can see the cast is very engaged, all of them. And they're doing something that I feel like was probably pretty important for 1988. Too bad not a whole lot of people, I guess, saw this movie, or maybe they did. I don't know. They got enough.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say they got enough to do a musical.
Yeah, I think it initially made like $8 million, and then in like 1990, 1991, when it was on VHS, it like. Became a kind of a classic at that point. It hit really hard on video.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I think people started to realize what type of movie it was, so more people started to watch it.
Now, like I said, as a kid when I saw this on VHS, I had no idea what Hairspray meant. I didn't even know what kind of movie this was. You guys saw the...
Who was a fan of these doo-wop movies like this?
Yeah.
Back to the Beach, man. Like, it's one of your favorite fucking
Which I love, movies. But...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I just was like, okay, whatever. Freddy's killing people. I'll rent this.
Crybaby was the next movie after this.
Crybaby is so good. Any of you guys, if you haven't seen Crybaby with Johnny Depp, the John Waters movie, I think it's the movie after this. What a fantastic movie. We got to do that sometime. I really love that movie.
A long time for that one.
Yeah.
It was that one in Pump Up the Volume.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes.
We got to
do Pump Up the Volume.
That's a future episode. I absolutely love that movie. And that
and Heathers.
And Heathers. Man, dude, Christian Slater had a good Gleaming the Cube.
Oh, he had a really good run in the
early
90s.
The Wizard. He was in The Wizard. Yeah, he was. Man, like, I really, like I said, when this movie came on, and this will go ahead and be my review for it, and I'm going to ask you other guys, but I you know, it was the kind of thing where Ashley was just like, hey, you know what, I'm taking over the TV, I'm going to watch this, I watched this as a kid, I'm going to enjoy it, and I just went along for the ride, and I had no idea how relevant this movie was, and how, once again, Ricky Lake was absolutely stupendous in this movie. The whole cast was great, but Ricky Lake really won my heart over. And I also watched it and just realized that, you know, out of all the stuff we've been talking about lately, this is probably a pretty good movie to talk about. And this movie doesn't get enough attention, obviously. So that's my review. Ben, what'd you think of Hairspray?
I liked it. Smoked some of the devil's lettuce this morning when I woke up.
Beatnik.
Yep. Yep. And
Andrew Lloyd Webber fucking devil horns. Oh, yeah. That wasn't on this episode. That was before.
That's a good test of a movie for me, is like, how is the experience when I first wake up and try to watch this? I also woke up, smoked the devil's lettuce, and watched XXX. Did not have a fucking good time. So at least with this one, I had kind of a smile on my face the whole time. I was like, oh, yeah. It's like the John Waters aspect. Like, I wouldn't normally be super interested. And to be honest, I wasn't super looking forward to watching it, but I had a good time. I liked it. It has a lovable, campy, naive quality to it. And if you like John Waters movies, well, then you've probably already seen it.
Word. Dusty Strickland, what did you think of Hairspray?
I actively tried to conspire with Ben to not watch this movie in particular. I watched it. And then he torpedoed those plans. So I sat in here while the movie was on. Learned lots of new Transformer listings were coming out. That's one of my takeaways from this movie. I guess if this is your bag, watch it.
Yeah.
Blowing review from Dusty.
If this is your bag, watch it.
Thanks, Bray Wyatt. Thanks, Bray Wyatt.
Totally wasn't mine.
Yeah, more than he said about BVS, so that's cool. Andrew,
well, we talked for 5 hours on BVS. I think I had a lot more to say about that.
I think we're actually going to do another couple hours on that one sometime. Andrew,
mm-hmm.
who also has a lot to say about BVS that we haven't.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'm totally down and excited to do that, actually. But
you're excited to do it?
Yeah, because I haven't seen it. I've only seen it once. I shit on it during the one of the podcasts I did last year, before the Zoom era, the little chunk that Jacob and I did last year. I shit on BVS, but we haven't actually done an episode about it. So I want to watch it and then do it again, because we'll talk.
Yeah, I think you're coming to visit soon if that works out, and we'll just watch it together. Maybe we'll even watch Jaws together. And
I'll actually be there in like 3 weeks.
Shit.
You should watch Contagion before you make that trip.
I already watched it. Still here in 3 weeks.
I already tested, bro.
All right, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm gonna get tested before I leave.
Andrew, you had no idea what to expect from Hairspray. What'd you think?
So at first, I hated it. Like the first like 10 or 15 minutes of the movie, like the intro song is way too long.
Yeah. That's the 80s.
Yeah, but and then like I was watching it going like, okay, this is Like, and this isn't derogatory. It's just not for me. Like, this movie, like, the beginning of this movie is gay. Like, this is a very, like, campy, like, and that's there's nothing wrong with that.
This is a very gay film.
It's just not to my own taste. You know what I mean? And so I was like, this is going to be fun. You know, I was like, this is going to be fun. And then, I figured it was going to be like Cats. Like, there's going to be certain moments where I'm like, all right, you know, this isn't something that I'm going to sit down and watch, but this is a spectacle, you know. But then in the middle, towards the, like, three quarters of the way, it really kind of, like, it settled in, I thought. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed myself. And then you get thrown for a loop with the, you know, the sorry, Juice, the racial disturbance. You know what I mean?
You mean all these wild ass white terrorists?
Yeah, the white terrorism.
With the old lady has a racial force.
She has a legitimate dynamite bomb in her church lady haircut.
She does.
So, like,
well, that old one old bitch had a fucking cherry bomb or something that she lit off her fucking joint.
She just threw it
out there in the.
Yeah, she had a sign that said "Go back to Africa."
I hate, just to put a pin, that is the weirdest fucking argument. Like, go back to where we brought you from. It's like it wasn't
stole these, you from.
Yeah, this was not like this wasn't a consensual decision where all the black people were like, "Let's move to the Americas because we'll have it made."
Dude, yeah, it's also, dude, I was watching, I won't even get into it, but I was watching a YouTube video about a historical artifact that was found 11,000 years ago before anybody would have thought Jesus existed or anything, and it kind of proved that people before Adam and Eve were very intelligent, and I was just like,
wait, oh. What year was Adam and Eve?
Well, exactly, but, you know. That's the thing. So you start looking all this stuff up and you're just like, oh, okay, so none of this makes sense.
And so the people before Adam and Eve were pretty spot on. They were highly intelligent beings.
Well,
the people before Adam and Eve, Jacob.
Yeah, there were no
Adam came out with his MAGA hat and started fucking running everything.
I actually think Casablanca was before Adam and Eve.
That T-Rex just came in and pooped out a human egg.
You know,
and then Adam was born.
Dusty, that's what I love about happened. The show is like shit that I remember from a musty old church years ago that's consistently brought up, and it will be preserved.
It's consistently hilarious. It's consistently hilarious. At the lengths that adults around here go to fairy tales. The table.
Throwing table. A child out of your Bible school for asking a question that you could have answered if you would have.
I don't know. I don't know, kid. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know. There's your answer.
You have to realize, though, this is the
most
kid.
Most kids that would be like, all right.
Yeah, but you this know? Is the kid that fake held up the bank. So you're probably just gonna kick him the fuck out of your Sunday school, like, oh, that's the
you know, I've heard those episodes that have had to be taken down. I've heard what he said.
Me too.
By the way, if you guys find any more, let me know.
I was on.
It comes from a legit, like,
I think
it comes from a legit naive spot.
Naivete.
Like, this was nothing. Jacob has never been interested in this shit. He's never paid attention to politics or what's going on in the fucking world around him until he's probably like this old right now. Like, since he's got into the news is probably when he started. That's when news showed up for Jacob.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't anything that was on his radar. If it wasn't the new fucking metal magazine or the new fucking Korn album or some shit, you know? It's like,
he was like, he's like, this reality is a nightmare. It's like a Nightmare on Elm Street. I should watch that. I should watch that instead.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, you know, like the whole, I think it was one of the Friday the 13th episodes when he kept referring to Jason as a mongoloid.
Right.
And Ben's like, no, dude, like that's a derogatory term. No, it's not.
And I had only gotten that
in this documentary.
I'd only gotten that because the people that worked on the movie were saying that. You know?
Because they're all racist.
In the 70s and early 80s.
Yeah.
Is the context for them saying that.
Seriously, guys. I grew up in the woods. I only knew entertainment. I'm sorry. I suck.
I know of another one, but I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I don't want you to delete the episode because the episode's really good otherwise.
I could go chop it, you know?
I'll think about it, and then I'll let you know.
No, dude, leave it. It's fucking genuine.
I got to think of if there's any...
You're growing from it, so...
If there's any marquee bits that bounce off of that, I mean... we're keeping those.
Well, and you know, honestly, like the one I took down, I was like, you know, that's not that bad. But I was like, I listened to myself, and I know I'm a different person from that person, and I don't want anybody to judge me for that person that was there. You know?
Oh yeah.
Was it the Holy Mountain episode?
What's that?
That's not what I'm bringing up.
The Holy Mountain episode when you
when
your ugly face showed like fuck this fucking I hate everything, everything's horrible. Fuck this movie. Fuck this movie.
No, it's just stupid racist shit. I would say that I didn't realize was racist when I said like the word ethnic, for example. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like I'd be like, oh, that's totally. You know, I mean, and it was just from an ignorant place, and. Now I look at that, and it sucks when you've been doing this for, Ben, we've been doing this for 4 years, man. Or, wait.
Longer.
We've been doing this for 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
192 episodes today.
Yeah,
it was before Trump. I was listening to one today. Where, like, the threat of Trump becoming president was present on the episode. And,
on the first one, or on like just one of them in the early days?
It's just one of them, you know. And
yeah, because those first episodes, man, those were the days when all we had to worry about was how bad movies were.
Yeah, man. And as I said with the Lawnmower Man 2 episode, you were like, "How could this have gone to this crazy dystopian future so quickly?"
Just wait, dog.
and it's just
you. So just crazy. Fucking wait.
Because Austin O'Brien, you know, yeah, he lived that shit. go back, listen to Lawnmower Man 2. You'll see.
All right.
You guys.
Are we about to fidget spin this up? Because I got to get my jewel charged real quick.
Yeah, let's wrap this up. Hairspray, everybody recommended it. Is that correct?
Sure. If you're just sure. Know, like, if you're down to watch, like, not really a music, because this one's not really a musical, but
at
like,
all, not at all.
If you're down to watch Grease with no songs, with no like song and dance numbers at least, but then you're down for that to get a little dark, that's basically what I tell anybody. I'm like, go ahead, watch this.
I think Juice gives it 4 out of 5 Z's.
Holy shit, did Juice fall asleep again?
Not really. Juice, you're missing Negro Day.
Oh, God.
Somebody need to. I'm a boycott.
Juice, out of everybody, honestly, Juice, what'd you think of Hairspray?
Oh, man, it was – I mean, look, as somebody who's grown up black and part of the LGBTQRSTUV community, it checked all my marks. Like, it was fun. It was campy. It had a tiny mustache in it. There was tension, there was sexuality to some degree, there was booty shaking done by people of all colors. I mean, here's the thing, I want white people to loosen the fuck up, and just in general, and just like stop taking everything so serious, because like I tell you what you need to do, you need to listen to Run the Jewels. And watch that video, Ooh La La. Just watch the video to Ooh La La. That's what we want. And if we have to burn your money to do that, we will do that. But, yeah, that's Hairspray. Hairspray 2020, the sci-fi fantastic. It's Stanley Kubrick's finest.
Which is funny because Stanley Kubrick is from, I believe, Baltimore.
Wow.
What? It, was it really? Because I just pulled that right out of my ass. I was trumping right there.
Honestly, man, like this movie hits harder than anything I've seen this year. Honestly, I watched it.
Somebody should show it to Trump and just be
exactly.
This is what's going on outside.
This is what's still happening.
Like, what?
How is this happening in the 60s and this is still happening? You know, yeah, it's lesser. You know, like black people can dance in a club with white people, but. Like, there's still a separation, and this is ridiculous. We're all human.
Yeah. Well,
I think it'll be another – I think it'll start to happen now, but I think it'll be another half century.
I think it's getting really close to coming to blows. Like, I mean, when you see the not fucking around coalition and, you know, I can't remember what they marched on, but the KKK basically told them not to show up. So they were like, nah, we're going to show up. And it was only a few of them, but their numbers are like 13,000 troops all over the country.
Wow.
And they're waiting. They're waiting for somebody to do the wrong thing.
Yeah. I started my first day of vacation this week. And it was a really rough day personally, honestly, because I found out somebody I know that I care about is pretty sick. And it's been a really rough day of vacation. But honestly, not being out there and not having to go into the fire every day is nice for the next 6 days. And this whole, honestly, and I've got it spoiled because I get to spend most of my day in a car, whereas a Walmart worker that's got to keep people from wearing no mask at a store has got it way worse than me, so I'm not complaining one bit.
Yeah, them greeters are going to have a tough time.
They really are. And, you know, there's going to be, I think they said there's going to be a nurse or something like that at the front desk or whatever, but that was supposed to be the first day was supposed to be today. And somebody I know knew some workers and they said that person didn't show up. So, I mean, like stuff's just changing day to day. But honestly, as I said before, as with this movie, so much stuff is being brought up right now and I really hope it sticks. And I really hope people start realizing how stupid they've been. And I really hope people just start being responsible because, you know, honestly, if you shop for 15 minutes and you got to wear a mask, I don't see how there should be any problem with that. Like, that's fine. Because you know what? I need food and we're in a really difficult situation right now. And if I got to wear a mask to do it, that's no problem at all. That's all I got to say. So this has gotten fucking political. And Hairspray, I figured would get political because I couldn't believe what this movie was saying in 1988 that is still a problem now, and that sucks, honestly. And that's all I really got to say about it. I'll stop.
Watch it.
Watch it.
It's good. Watch it to be entertained. Don't watch it to, you know. Like you're reading a book or something, just watch it to be entertained.
Yeah, it's going to be entertaining. Ricky Lake's a fucking gem in this movie.
It's like apple pie with ice cream on it, but, you know, you're not sure what flavor of ice cream.
Might get some chocolate ice cream with your apple pie. Is
Neapolitan.
Sherbet? Yeah, that could be different for you, but maybe it could be cool. So.
Are we going to go straight into the intro for the next episode?
Oh, yeah. So whose pick is it?
It's mine.
It's Andrew's pick?
It is. I already told you what I'm doing, but you were hammered, so I don't know if you remember.
I've been hammered for the last few weeks.
Do you remember?
Have you told us or just Jacob?
I just told Jacob. Okay. Because Jacob was he stayed on the stream a little bit longer last time.
I've got an idea. Go ahead and say it though.
So next week we're gonna do Predator.
Woo!
Because I've never seen Predator, and Jacob constantly makes fun of me for having not seen Predator. I think Predator is gonna be a fun, dumb
dude
episode.
It'll be our third Predator episode, right? Or have we done any of the Alien versus Predators?
Have we done a Predator episode?
Oh, we've done two. We've done Predators.
And we did?
Didn't we? Yeah, we did Adrian Brody, right? Predators?
I don't think so.
I think we did the Predator.
I think the only one is the...
The Predator.
The Predator.
Whatever the fuck you call that one.
Thumbs down. Mm-hmm. Bullshit. Andrew has never seen Predator. John McTiernan directed Predator, who also directed Die Hard. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jesse Ventura,
Carl Weathers.
Oh my God,
Bill Duke.
Andrew, I guess I was drunk because, like, Bill if Duke. I would have known that this was going to be your pick, I would have been so fucking stoked because this movie is near, dear, sweet to my heart.
Yeah.
I prefer Predator 2.
Ooh! I prefer Predator 2.
See, we can do that eventually too. See, I've told you guys a million times. My favorite episodes are the episodes of movies that you guys loved watching when you were younger, because they're fun if the movie ends up being good. They're fun if the movie ends up sucking. You guys all have stories surrounding it, and you guys know a lot about the lore and the lexicon and shit. And I bet a bunch of the dorks who listen to this podcast are also into all that. So,
oh, dude, I will be able to talk your ear off about Predator because I'll give a little tidbit right now. Did you know Jean-Claude Van Damme was the original Predator? Did you know that?
In the suit? I didn't know that. You have to understand, all this shit's going to blow my mind.
Arnold in this movie. Jean-Claude Van Damme in a suit. did some Predators, so we'll go ahead and
did you know there's a video game of this movie that none of us fucking play?
Yeah,
and all y'all got swindled sucked. By a con man.
Yeah
we all got fucking sucks Duke. And I deleted it from my PS4 like the next
I told
week
you I tried to tell y'all
you guys
who,
today
who used to sell video games this guy.
I promised cross-platform, man. They just didn't do it.
Today was the day where I was like, you know what? I think I might have wasted $40 on that Predator game. And
it's a shitty game.
Yeah. I was really hoping for that Friday the 13th. Because, like, when I first fired up Friday the 13th, it did suck. But it got better eventually, you know, and I quite enjoyed it. I don't see
that they're updating. Like, this Predator game, they have fucking, within just so many months, they've already released paid content for it.
Yeah, I bought it.
You never had paid content with Friday the 13th, did you?
No. I paid for the Predator content to get Dutch.
So you got duped twice.
Yeah. You're a sucker, dude. You're a fucking sucker.
You know what
sucker.
The shitty thing is, though, even without you guys playing, like, I'm not hooked on it. Like, I bought the Dutch content. I was like, oh, I'll play as Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's the same game, but every once in a while, Arnold Schwarzenegger says something. And, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's – I hope there's a day where maybe we can play it. And maybe before – this next Predator episode, we'll try to get together and play it. Maybe we could do a Twitch on that or something. I don't know. We'll try it out. Maybe because I've seen.
Oh, no, we won't. Because my PlayStation doesn't fucking work.
Oh, well.
Again?
It's a PlayStation, dude.
Dude,
they work.
I have three of them. I have three of them. And all of them work.
I don't know. Over here.
It freezes up a lot. I'll say that.
All right.
My one broke, and then the second, or one quit working, and then the second one I've got now is a PS Pro, but it's loud as fuck and freezes up sometimes just when I'm on the store.
So
I hope they get it off. Are we done with this? Are we ready to get to the Simpsons?
That's the end of it. Everybody recommends Hairspray. I appreciate you guys.